Go.
This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show. Remember, this is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is now show number 463. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. Well, where is the most economic opportunity for small business in 2018? Our next guest can provide some insight. Carl Bialik is the data science editor for Yelp. Previously, he wrote for 538 and for the Wall Street Journal. Carl, welcome to the show and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks for having me on.
So tell us about what Yelp has just announced when they launched their first local economic outlook for 50 metro areas where they're small businesses.
Yeah, we were looking at which are the places in the country where if you're looking to start a new business or if you already have a small business, where you have the greatest chance of achieving kind of the base level of success I think every small business owner is looking for, which is to stay in business. Of course, you want to thrive, you want to make money, you want to be able to expand hours, hire more employees, open more locations. To do that, you first have to stay in business. And Yelp has the data to check that, to look at where are businesses staying in business and what are the factors that are driving it. And using our data, which covers millions of businesses, more than 100 million reviews, and all sorts of other business info, we found that a lot of the best places, a lot of the best metros for economic opportunity for small businesses are in the South. Charlotte was number one, Jacksonville, Orlando, Charleston were among the other highest-ranking metros.
And so before we talk about specific cities, I want to talk a little bit more about the data because I think a lot of small business owners are thinking, well, why would Yelp have this kind of data? Why is Yelp's data of reviews relevant to try to figure out the economic outlook?
Yeah, that's a very fair question. I think we're mostly thought of as a review site, but we have all sorts of other data as well. The reviews themselves are valuable data, but we also are a kind of, you know, advanced 2017 version of the Yellow Pages. We have lots and lots of information on businesses. Much of it's supplied by businesses themselves. Millions of businesses have claimed their page, which is a free service you can do on Yelp, and then you can add your address and your phone number and everything else. And when people visit those pages and they try to contact the business and find out they're closed, they tell us. So we have, you know, up to the minute where businesses have closed around the country in a manner more complete and more granular than most other sources. So if you combine the data that we have about how people engage with businesses on Yelp, how many people are visiting the page, how many people are calling the business, looking for directions, and yes, what reviews they're writing, and then you combine that with that outcome, that very real-world outcome of people telling us, you know, that business has a close sign on it or, you know, they're opening under new management, then we can really tie those indicators of business health to the very real-world consequence of is a business still open or is it closed.
So, Carl, what was the methodology you used to try to figure out that places like Charlotte and Jacksonville, Orlando, Charleston were some of the best places for small businesses?
I worked with some of my data science colleagues on a methodology that is pretty complex, but it's called random forest. The simple version is you have all these different facts about businesses, and it could be it's a restaurant versus it's a grocery store, or it could be, you know, this business had 1,000 page views last week and this business had 500, or, you know, this business has gotten 1,000 reviews in its lifetime, this business has gotten 10. And looks at each of those indicators, and it groups businesses by, we think this business is has a good economic outlook, it is likely to stay open, and this business is not. And then you build a model using all the data, and basically it's the average of all those guesses. Like, you sort them by each of those criteria millions of times, and then you take the average that gives you the best prediction. You know, you talked about how unpredictable small business is. It's pretty unpredictable which businesses are going to succeed or not. But we think we've come up with the best model based on all the millions and hundreds of millions of data points that we have. And once we did that for every business in the country, we were able to roll that up. So we were able to say, you know, for a small business in Charlotte versus a small business in New York, which one has the best chance of remaining open for the next 3 months? And our assumption was the average small business's opportunity in a city or in a metro area is equivalent to the chance that the next small business that opened would have a chance to stay in business. But basically, if you're just opening that next business, you're going to have the same likelihood of success as the average business in that market.
In other words, if small businesses are thriving in that metro, then chances are the next small business that opens would thrive as well.
Sure. You got to, you know, meet the average standards in that market, in that category. But if you do, which we think the average small business does, then you'll have the similar success.
So what some of the things that you mentioned in the study was that some of the high-ranking metro areas, there was less competition, lower rents, cost of living, fringe laws and regulations for entrepreneurship. So certainly those things can help a small business thrive.
Absolutely. And, you know, these are still kind of working hypotheses. These are based on observing which metros did the best, like ranked the highest in this economic opportunity score. We're looking to study this further, potentially work with outside economists. We're welcoming researchers to work with us, take our data, and try to understand what really is driving economic opportunity.
So where was Chicago in that list? Because that's where we're at here.
That's a great question.
I guess not at the top or the bottom, right? So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think it was around the middle, which is good given that in general the big cities with lots of economic competition tended to be places where consumers have a ton of choice, which is great. But for small business owners, it can be really tough to thrive. Chicago ranked 38th out of 50, which is not,
well, at least we're not at the bottom.
The bottom half,
like Illinois.
It's, it's ahead of New York. It's ahead of San Francisco. Ahead of Boston, it's ahead of Seattle. It's ahead of a lot of other, some of the, you know, the biggest economic centers of the country.
So Carl, what advice would you have for small business owners? They're reading this report, and perhaps they're in a city that isn't really high on the list. Would your advice be, well, you better pick up and you better go move to Charlotte, North Carolina, or would you say, listen, maybe we've got to work in our community to getting laws and regulations that are more friendly to small business?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't discourage anyone who, for other reasons, wants to move or expand to another city. I think that's great. But by all means, we should be trying to lift all these economies up. I mean, we want to see small businesses thrive around the country. And, we do think that there's room to look at the other metros without moving there and say, what is it that's driving success there, and how can we replicate that in our local market? And it could be pushing for different regulation. It could be certain innovative business practices. I think it's somewhat about regulation and conditions, but it's also about what the businesses are doing there. And I think it's also important to point out that these metros themselves are, you know, very big, complex, and varying areas. So in addition to ranking cities, we also rank neighborhoods by which ones improve the most in ranking over time. And even in some of the cities that overall are some of the most challenging places, there are some pockets of real opportunity. So I think looking local beyond just what metro are you in, but where are the places within your city, it's a lot easier to move to the next neighborhood or to get lessons from the next neighborhood than it is to move across the country.
And I think that's a really important point because, as you said, these metro cities are not monolithic. They're very complex. There's some parts of the city that are doing better than others, and that's really what you got to look for, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, we see all the time that a part of a city might have a setback, might have a big closure, let's say of a mall. But that means there's still people in that city. They're not all leaving. They still need to conduct business. They still want to connect with great local businesses. And that could mean that they look to the next neighborhood. So, you know, it's a very competitive environment out there for small businesses. And one setback can be another opportunity.
Well, before I let you go, I always got to ask when I talk to people from Yelp, how can a small business make their Yelp page better?
That's a great question. So it is a free service to claim your page. Anyone can just navigate to their Yelp page. I bet many of your listeners know that URL or bookmark that URL. And you can just say, claim my business. And once you do that, it's free. You can access via the web or via your phone an application that basically lets you, you know, keep your address up to date, your business hours, upload photos, upload a business history, really engage with the page. And it's not just putting up that kind of static information. It's also giving you the opportunity to respond to reviews. We found that the sooner business owners respond to negative reviews, the more likely they are to get an updated and improved review. So I think beyond even getting an improved review, just showing that you're engaging with your customers, that you're listening to your feedback, and you're responding in a constructive manner is a great way to show to potential future customers that you're really customer first.
Yeah, and I always say to people, when you see a negative review, what the customer is really saying, is anybody out there listening? And they just want a response. So, Carl, appreciate you being on the show. Where can people get more information on the local economic outlook that Yelp has created?
Sure, yelpblog.com, and we're looking to update it every quarter. So about a month from when the show's airing, we're going to aim to have the one out for Q4 2017.
Great. Carl, thanks so much for being on the show. Coming up, online e-commerce had hit a record this past year. What your business needs to know to be successful. This is AM 560 The Answer. Be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
Good morning. I'm Jeremy Scott with your look at the roadways. We have a couple of problems we're keeping our eye on. One's in Elgin, where there's a crash at Liberty and Concord. Also inbound on the Eisenhower Route 83. Cars hit the wall on the left side. Other than that, the rest of your roadways are moving well. No delays on the Edens or the Kennedy. Stevenson, Dan Ryan, the rest of your Southside Expressways are looking good. Same goes for Lakeshore Drive and the tollways. Hey, don't forget that for New Year's Eve tonight, CTA will offer free rides on buses and trains starting at 10 tonight. That'll last until 4 in the morning on Monday, and longer trains will be operated, as well as more frequent trains on the blue, brown, green, orange, purple, and red lines. Other than that, not looking too bad on your public transit system. It's bitterly cold out there. Windchill advisory until Tuesday. It's 2 at O'Hare Midway, 4 at the lakefront. Windchills and then minus teens going up to a high of 12 with scatters. So that's traffic on AM 560, The Answer.
Celebrate the new year with a change. Stamp your passport to paradise. Escape Chicago and join Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson in Riviera Maya, Mexico at the Secrets Maroma Beach, Riviera Cancun. It's an all-inclusive, all-suites, adults-only resort located in beautiful, sunny Riviera Maya, Mexico. Time is running out to book your trip through Apple Vacations. Don't get left out in the cold this year. Visit 560theanswer.com and search for the keyword passport. Presented by Joe Cotton Ford and Arlington Heights Heating and Cooling.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Moult and get a free copy of the book.
Amy Jacobson here, and I wanted to take a minute to say thanks. Thank you to each and every one of you who participated in our annual Food for the Poor campaign. Because of you, we were able to raise over $160,000 to provide food for a year and clean water for life for over 3,200 children and their families in countries throughout Latin America and the Caribbean. And we are especially grateful to the many business benefactors who supported this campaign. When you hear their ads on this radio station, we'd ask that you support their businesses as a way of thanking them for their generosity. And just because the Christmas season is over and we're starting a new year, that doesn't mean the need goes away. You can still make a $50 donation to Food for the Poor. Call 844-862-4673. That's 844-862-4673. And thanks again for your generosity.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moults. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, online and e-commerce sites hit records this past year. If your business doesn't know how to do this well, you're really missing out. Here to help is Johan von Tonder, who's the author of E-Commerce Website Optimization and is the COO of AWA Digital. He's used the principle and techniques in the book to deliver massive sales improvements for big and small e-commerce businesses. Johan, welcome to the show.
Very good to be with you. Thanks for the invitation.
So what makes a good e-commerce website? Because a lot of people have the ability for customers to buy things on their site, but that doesn't mean they're going to be successful, right?
Well, it's where it starts. It absolutely starts with the product, with the merchandise. Kevin Hillstrom, who's known for his merchandise analytics work, he says it best. He says that the reason why your website converts is because of the merchandise. That's why people are there, and that's why they buy from you. So it starts there, but that's not, as you allude to, the end of it. I think it comes down to understanding your customers. And it sounds a bit platitudinal, but I'm sure we're going to get into the detail of this. But if you really understand, and I guess this is basic marketing, if you understand their needs and you understand why they're buying from you or why they're considering buying from you as opposed to the other competitors out there, and not only direct competitors, but also substitutes, then you're more than halfway there. The rest, you know, the kind of things we tend to obsess over, things like UX and color buttons and, what your checkout funnel looks like and all of that, it tends to be less important than this first principle that I mentioned.
So, Johan, so how do you actually make that work? Because I think a lot of people can sell stuff on their website. A lot of people think they know what their customers want. But somewhere in the middle, it breaks down. How do you make that connection so there's a conversion?
You have to understand your customers. You have to, and the only way to understand them is to interact with them. And there are a number of ways in which you can do this. And most of the content in the book is about exactly that. It's about how do you get under the skin, into the heart, into the minds of your customers. And really, there is no shortcut for this. And that is what will potentially transform your business, depending on where you start off from. And you'll be surprised. You know, we deal with a range of businesses, small businesses, but also big corporates, big enterprise. And even companies with huge departments, marketing departments, and all the resources, there's often a blind spot there. They think they know, A, who their customer is, but even if they've got a grip on that, they certainly don't know exactly what makes them tick. And often, you know, they're sort of jaw-dropping insights. And for a small business, you know, I can't emphasize that enough, is using these tools. So let's talk about some of the tools. Let's start with something like surveys, email surveys, because it's cheap, it's easy to get out, and it must be arguably the most cost-effective research tool out there. So you've got an email database, presumably, and you mail them some questions. And the difference between success and failure here, or actionable and not actionable insights, is the questions you ask. And we've got many lists in the book. But what you're less interested in is the demographics, because demographics generally don't determine buying behavior, right? What you're interested in is behavior. And it's also psychological principles. So things like I mentioned earlier, why would I buy from you? And not from your competitor. It's the kind of questions you can ask people. And, you don't ask them directly because often they can't give you an honest response. But, you know, there are ways in which you can move around that and get to the answer.
So, Joanne, let me interrupt you on that point, because I think a lot of people do surveys, right? And they think that whatever answer they get is exactly what the customer thinks. But I think a lot of times people respond differently in a survey than what their buying action is. How do you bridge that gap?
Yeah, that's a good point. And it's exactly what I say. People can't predict their own behavior. That's the first point, is that if you ask them how they think they're going to react to a certain change, for example, they will give you an answer and they will think it's the right answer. But the best way really to see what the reality is to put them in that position. And that's where A-B testing comes in. So you run an experiment, you make the change. They don't know that they're in their experiment. and they behave in the way that they would normally behave, which is possibly quite different to what they would have predicted they would behave. And that's how you measure the response. To get back to the example I mentioned earlier about understanding buying behavior and understanding. So you could ask them a question like, when they look at your screen, pretty sure they've got two or three other tabs open that they're looking at the same time. So get a sense of, you know, who are these other competitors? What are the products that they're looking at, that they're considering at the same time? And then when they try to take them back to a moment in recent time where they bought a product that you sell or a similar product, and ask them about that experience. So take them back into their past rather than trying to understand what it will be like in future on your side. So when you recently bought something in this category, whatever it is, and then you ask them about that experience, and out of that, you can extract the elements that you'll be able to work with.
I like that a lot because that is really something that happened, right? So if they can recount how they did it before, it might be forecast what their future behavior is. Johan, what are most buying decisions really based on, and what does that really mean if I'm trying to optimize my website for e-commerce?
It's what's in it for me is primarily it. I mean, it again starts with a product. If you sell the product that the customer at that point happens to need, of course that's the starting point. But then there you're not the only option. You're almost never the only option, and you're competing with the likes of Amazon. So there has to be a reason. And it's about communication. And website optimization, e-commerce optimization is less about moving things around on the page. I say that because a lot of people tend to think that's what it's about. And when they do this, it is what they will obsess over. It's not about that. It is about optimizing a sales conversation. It's not about optimizing a page. So you have to understand that sales context. What is it that they're buying? And here I'm talking not just about the product, but what the end result is. So the famous quote by Theodore Levitt, I think it was, who said, people don't buy a quarter-inch drill, right? They buy a quarter-inch hole in the wall. It's that thing. It is, what's the problem they're trying to solve? And understanding that, that's the starting point. And that's why you have to do all this research, why you have to get into their hearts, into their minds, under their skin. And because if you understand that and you understand that broader context, then you can optimize the sales conversation. In other words, you can say the right things. For example, when you buy a product, you have some questions about it. You're not in a store where you have that touch and feel. Of course, that's lacking on the internet. And so how do you overcome that? There will inevitably be questions. There'll be concerns. These are the things that you have to address preemptively. But before you can address it, you need to know what they are. You need to be able to put your finger on it. And then you've got to do it in the right spot. There's no point answering a question at a point in the journey where the question hasn't yet arisen. So you've got to get that right too.
So Johan, the last minute we have, I wanted to ask you a question because you talk about it's not important about where you put things on the page, but you do say that perhaps you should have two different versions of your website. Why is that?
It's the only way really to see. It's the only way to see whether an intervention is going to make a difference or not. A-B testing. And A-B testing is not for every site. You need some traffic. Not a lot of traffic, to be honest, but you know, let's put some numbers out there. 30,000 unique visitors a month, at least that. You can run A-B tests. And it's because of what I said earlier. It's because people can't predict their own behavior. But it's also because when you run A-B tests every day, you'll soon realize that you're often wrong, right? So you think and you firmly believe and you're completely confident that this change you're making on your site will make the difference. And you put it to an A-B test, and actually it's inconclusive, or worse, it may be negative.
It doesn't work. Johan, that's all the time we have. Thanks for being on the show. If you want to get Johan's book, it's E-Commerce Website Optimization. Johan, thanks again.
Thanks, Barry.
This is AM 560 The Answer. We're going to be right back.
Larry Elder prepares Republicans for what's to come.
Now, the reason that Al Franken was pressured into resigning is because they want to use the argument that Trump has had allegations against him. And their argument's going to be, we're cleaning up our house. We're getting rid of our miscreants. You're adding to yours. You've got Trump. You've got Roy Moore. We've got the high ground here. That's why Al Franken was thrown under the bus.
The Larry Elder Show, weeknights at 7, right before Jay Sekulow at 9 on AM 560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. Avoiding a government shutdown in 2 weeks and a roadmap to immigration. Two topics lawmakers will tackle when they return to work next week.
Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell says if there's a bipartisan agreement, he'll dedicate floor time to a DACA fix to shield young immigrants brought to the U.S. illegally as children from deportation.
Fox's Jared Halpern. President Trump says there won't be any move on DACA without money for the Mexico border wall. Lots of extra security in place for the New Year's Day Rose Bowl parade in Pasadena tomorrow.
Something simple as removing newspaper stands or creating water barriers to prevent vehicle incursions.
Lieutenant Jason Clausen, there are several buildings close to the parade route, including parking garages from which you can watch the floats drive by.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. In New York's Times Square, forecasters say tonight's New Year's celebration could be one of the coldest on record. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
Good morning, happy Sunday, and happy last day of 2017. I'm Jeremy Scott with your look at the roadways. An Elgin Silver crash at Liberty and Congdon. Also, if you're traveling through the Eisenhower, inbound at Route 83, cars hit the wall, so that should be clear here in the next couple of minutes. Other than that, the rest of your roadways are moving well. Don't forget, CTA is going to offer free rides on buses and trains starting tonight at 10 p.m. That'll last until tomorrow morning at 4. This traffic update is sponsored by TrueCar. Looking to buy a car? Online shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with TruePrice from TrueCar. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for the car you want and see what others paid for it, too. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar for a more confident car buying experience. Wind chill advisory in effect until Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday. It's going to be bitterly cold today with some flurries and temperatures in the mid-teens. 2 at O'Hare, Midway 4 at the lakefront with wind chills in the negative teens. That's traffic on AM560, The Answer.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@moltz.com. That's barry@moltz.com.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Balance of Nature's Fruits and Veggies.
My blood pressure is significantly so low now compared to what it was. I think I'm doing great with it.
That's one thing I like about Balance of Nature. Y'all listen, you talk and communicate, and not just give us your order, we're done, bye. You know, it to me, it makes more, I want to say, kind of a family-oriented business that, you know, we're out here for you, and we're part of your extended family trying to fill you in rather than just take your money.
I feel great. A lot of the aches and pains I have the arthritis in my hand seems to have dissipated most of the time, and I feel wonderful.
Have the confidence that you're giving your body what it needs. Call now to receive 35% off your first Balance of Nature order. Call 1-800-2468-751 or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code Chicago.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560, The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, it seems that everyone wants to work remotely these days, but before you allow your employees to do this, you have to set up the right processes and infrastructure. Here to tell us what needs to be set up is Chris Douglas, who's building a global network of top-tier training companies and authorized providers who share the philosophies of FIERCE. Chris is a visionary who believes that FIERCE offers 21st century solutions to leadership challenges. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Barry. I'm so delighted to be here.
So not a day goes by where an employee doesn't come and say, listen, I'd really like to work from home. What should your first response be?
Well, of course, it depends on your business. And from my perspective, the first response is, let's figure out how we can work this out. So both the company and you can get advantage from it.
Is it always a good idea?
Well, there are some very specific positions that require your presence. If, for instance, it's very difficult to have a receptionist
right,
in a business.
Exactly.
But I think people tend to go more, your position can't work remote, rather than let's give it a try and see if we can set some standards to make this work.
And so what kinds of things should you be talking about in that first conversation?
Well, the core is communication, and we're actually in the conversation business as a strategy. And so the communication tools are absolutely critical, because to engage an employee that is remote is more difficult than to engage an employee that's present. So you have to have the right tools for communication. So the systems, the computer, the connectivity, all of that has to be worked out from a pure communications perspective. And then you have to have a very rigorous plan around staying connected. So part of that communication should be simple tools like GoToMeeting or Skype. We happen to use Zoom. You can use FaceTime. The communication has to be as close to in person as you can make it, as opposed to solely using text and email, which have many, many problems associated with them as your only method of communication.
Right, because people do communicate differently with different tools. They communicate differently on the phone. They communicate differently on text. We've seen through social media that sometimes not so great things have come out. So what tools in business should you have to really make this go better?
You know, besides the technology, what you should have, and we look at them as tools, is the ability to really clearly define, have an absolute crystal clear plan about your expectations, the key performance indicators, how you can measure success. And another piece that is so incredibly important to successful relationships when they're remote is high levels of trust. And trust is a two-way street. So you really have to act in a way that garners trust. And you have to be able to hold your employees who are remote workers able to deliver on these clear expectations.
I think that's a real issue, because I think that a lot of managers come from the old school, which is, if I can't see you actually doing the work, then you're not really doing the work. And you have to have a shift. You have to go to what is known as ROW, results-oriented workplace, where just because I can't see you doesn't mean it's not getting done.
Absolutely, Barry. You see, one of the most clear advantages toward working remote for the employee is flexibility. So if you set it up purely as a remote desk in your workplace. I know they're going to be there 8 to 5. I know that they're going to have lunch at 12 to 1 or whatever. Then you're really not taking advantage of the power of that position. Now, clearly, meetings are important. Things have to be scheduled. But flexibility can be a very important thing. And experience with quite often is if you don't have clear expectations, even if the employee is here and not working remotely, then you're still not giving your company your full your capability of really delivering on what it is that you're supposed to be doing for your company. So clear expectations either way is.
And I think, Chris, as a last comment, I think we also can't forget that even though someone works remote, there still is a place for every employee to meet in person with the people they work with, right? Because we still do, I believe, our best communication when you're face-to-face.
You know, that is absolutely true. We have a lot of remote workers by actual distance from work and also choice. And we go out of our way to make sure that we have several face-to-face in-person touch points. And we make sure that when we have meetings that engage remote workers, we also have protocols that make sure that we don't forget they're on the line. So that face-to-face piece is absolutely critical, and as frequently as you can do that in person, the better.
Well, Chris, thanks for being on the show. If you want to get in touch with Chris, you can go to www.fierceincinc.com. Chris, thanks again.
Thank you, Barry. It was a pleasure.
Coming up, is your business going through tough times? You're ready to throw in the towel. There are alternatives to bankruptcy. We'll talk about that next. It's AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Jeremy Scott with your look at the roadways. The only issue we're seeing right now on the expressways and tollways and surface streets, really, is inbound the Ike at Route 83 where cars hit the wall. Other than that, not looking too bad anywhere else. Don't forget, with New Year's Eve today, alcohol will be prohibited on all Metro trains starting at 7 tonight until the end of service. Expect security lines, bag checks, and at downtown stations. And allowed extra time. Also, the only tollways around the clock, severe weather, road patrols are activated, assisting stranded customers during the severe cold weather and dangerous wind chills anticipated to continue throughout the weekend. These patrols will be in search for drivers and stranded vehicles. Keep that in mind that you can also call *999 for assistance on the tollways. Weather for today, wind chill advisory through Tuesday. Going to be cold with temperatures in the mid-teens and some snow. 2 O'Hare Midway, 3 at the lakefront. That's traffic on AM 560, The Answer.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at Barry@Moltz.com. That's Barry@Moltz.com.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, most of us go through hard times when running a business. A lot of you know that my first company that I started went out of business. So what is the alternative to bankruptcy when you're closing down your business? To help us with that topic is Bruce Bowler. He's a 40-year veteran of the mortgage banking industry. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry. It's great to be here.
So a lot of us are faced with the unfortunate task of closing our business down, but how you close it down is important. What is the alternative to actually saying, all right, I'm just giving up, I'm going to go bankrupt?
Great question. It's called a self-managed liquidation. And I was opened up to that opportunity with a conversation I had with my attorney. He was a bankruptcy attorney. When I went and said, okay, I got to close this thing down. I got debt hanging over my head. What do you think I ought to do? And he said, looking over everything you've given me here, I think you could do a self-managed liquidation.
And so how does that really differ from bankruptcy?
Great question. The difference is this. By doing a self-managed liquidation, the owner of the business takes charge of the entire process of what the courts and the attorneys would do through a bankruptcy process. In a way, it's you're just doing a do-it-yourself bankruptcy, but you take over the things like winding up your orders that you are taking care of for your customers, making sure your employees get paid, taking charge of selling your assets, taking care of negotiations and settlements with your creditors, all of everything you would do through bankruptcy, only you do it yourself under your own control.
And so, Bruce, what is really the advantage? Is it that you have more control?
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you're a business owner, you started it because of what's inside of you. And so you have this total control, which is what part of us is all about anyway, and who better would it be to close this business under your guidance, your control, and your direction than throwing it up into somebody who has no idea what it's all about?
So what consequences could there be if you say, all right, listen, I'm just going to let the courts handle it versus if I actually do a self-liquidation?
Well, you know, the thing is, as I was told by my bankruptcy attorney, he said, Bruce, if you want to go bankruptcy, fine, we can do that for you. And in 90 days or 6 months, you're just going to be all done with it. It'll be over. You won't have to worry about it. We take care of it. And then you walk away and start your life doing whatever else you want to do. However, what you walk away with may be absolutely nothing, including your home. I said, well, what's the alternative? And he said, you can do the self-managed liquidation where you take control of the whole thing. But know this, it's a difficult road. It's going to take you a minimum of 1 year to get it done and maybe two. But end of the day, hopefully, if you do everything right, you'll get it all done and perhaps have your home left. And the other thing is, you'll be able to say, I didn't take bankruptcy.
Right. And I closed it down. And that's the important part, because when you're going through this bankruptcy option with your business, you want to be able to hopefully left with something when it's all over so you can live another day. Who can help you through this process? Are you leaning on an attorney during this whole system?
I did. The neat thing about the attorney that I happened to find is that he was very supportive of the idea. In fact, he encouraged me, saying, I believe that you have caught this early enough, which is a key, Barry. You have to do this before you lose everything. You have to have something to work with. And he said, I think that you've caught it early enough that you could do a successful self-managed liquidation. But if you need help and guidance, I'll be here. I will help you through it. And he did. And he gave me guidance through the whole process. for which I paid for his help and guidance. But it was a great teamwork effort, and it worked.
So when you say, Bruce, that it has to be done early enough, how early is early? What are the signs?
Well, the signs are you running out of money?
Right. Every business card has a business for the same reason. They run out of cash, right?
That's the whole thing. I mean, I had assets up the yin-yang and some of those were encumbered with debt. And you know how that goes through a whole life of trying to put stuff together and all that good stuff. But the fact of the matter is I had a building that we used for our manufacturing operation. I had equipment that had equipment loans. I had things that we did an auction to sell everything in the building and just generated as much cash to liquidate debts as we possibly could. But the key was I could see that there was no future for my business. I could see that I was not going to be able to generate a profit early enough and quick enough, if at all, to be able to put money back into the system. And there was this window of opportunity that said, if you close it down now, you have enough assets that you can liquidate and probably get rid of all the debts, even though they might not be 100 cents on the dollar. You negotiate it. But if you do it now, it's possible. If you wait, you're toast.
Yeah, it's a very difficult decision. Hey, Bruce, I appreciate you being on the show. Give us the title of the book and where people can get a copy of it.
The title of the book is The Bankruptcy Alternative, and it's available on Amazon in all printed forms and with Kindle. Or you can go into Barnes & Noble or any of those bookstores and order it from them. And you got one in your hands.
Just don't go into Borders because they're, guess what, out of business.
Oh, good point.
Bruce, thanks again for being on the show. Coming up, being able to speak in front of a group of people is key to the success of your business. The next segment, we're going to show you how. This is AM560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to GEICO. I'm so happy, I feel like I can fly.
Disclaimer, you will not be able to fly by switching to GEICO. This is against the laws of physics and nature. If you find yourself flying, please seek professional and or medical help immediately. In the unlikely event you find yourself flying, you might be a superhero or a pigeon or a superhero named Pidgewoman who was bitten by a radioactive pigeon. If you are indeed Pidgewoman, GEICO retains all licensing publishing rights in the event Pidgewoman the movie becomes a top-grossing Hollywood blockbuster.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Show them your love, show them you care. Gift sent is cash, your gift gets there. Come to a store, their hearts will soar. Best gift is cash, gifts they'll adore.
Get your gifting needs wrapped up today with Western Union. For $5, send up to $50 for pickup at over 43,000 U.S. agent locations. This is sending the best gift of all. This is Western Union. Fees and taxes may vary by brand, channel, and location and are subject to change without notice. NMLS 906983.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Moltz.
Well, do you know how to communicate and speak with and in front of other people. This is really an underrated skill that can make or break your company. Here to help is Judith Humphrey, who has founded Toronto-based leadership communications firm called The Humphrey Group in 1988. Originally geared to the speaking needs of C-level executives, the company now works with leaders of all levels, showing them how to inspire, influence, and lead every time they speak. She's got a new book out. It's called Impromptu. Judith, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Barry.
So what's the key to a small business owner being able to communicate with their staff, their employees?
Well, the key is they have to have something to say. They have to know what they're talking about, and they have to get to the point. I think communication is really something that has to be much more focused, more pointed, more in the moment. And if people think about what is my message to this employee or to this client or this prospective client, they'll be so much better than as though they rambled on.
And so does that mean they really have to prepare for every conversation or just really be in the moment and be connected to who they're talking to?
Well, you know, that's a very interesting question, because at the root of my book, which is called Impromptu, is the argument that you actually have to prepare for spontaneous conversations. And by that I mean that it's really not right to think you can be effective and wing it. Now, sometimes we are, but a lot of times we miss. And we may say the wrong thing, we may choose the wrong words, we may make a faux pas of some kind, and in those impromptu moments, we wish that we had prepared. So preparation is key.
It's really interesting to me because whenever I see someone speak in front of people or I see an effective interview from a communication standpoint, I know, Judith, those people haven't winged it. It seems like they've winged it, but it seems that way only because they've practiced so much.
Exactly. You know, you want to prepare to be successfully spontaneous, and that's really the argument in my book. So how do you prepare? Because people think, well, if you have to wing it because you don't have much time to prepare. But in actual fact, you can prepare by, first of all, knowing your subject, knowing your audience. So really reading your audience in advance. If you're talking to an employee or you're talking to a customer, you're thinking in advance, where are they coming from? What's going to turn them on? How can I reach them? And what kind of message can I deliver that will really persuade them that they want to work with me? So that's all preparation.
Yeah, and I think, Judith, it really is a cop-out when people say they don't have time. I think it comes down to either people are lazy or they're afraid of preparing and having have to face that hard work.
Yeah, you know, and entrepreneurs especially are pressed for time. And so it's always easier, as you say, to put it off, maybe to feel that some other job is more important. But as you said initially, there's nothing more important than the ability to communicate on the spot. And actually, in the book, I have a template that business owners can use to structure their thinking on the spot. And it really has four elements. It's you start off with something about the person you're talking to. So, you know, so glad you invited me in would be a grabber. And then you get right to the point, you know, I really want to work with you, or I know we can help you, or something like that. And then some proof points around that message, you know, so you have to prove why you believe you can help that client.
Judith, I gotta leave you there. Thanks so much for being on the show. And I want to thank everyone for joining us on this week's radio show. Happy New Year to everyone. I want to thank our sponsors, Nextiva, and our staff, Sarah Schaffrin, Debbie Schreiner, Courtney Dury. If you're serious about successful in 2018, you got to give me a call, 773-837-8250, or email me at barry@moltz.com. Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate year.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymoltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
What's that noise?
That's the whole